This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world today. Welcome to another edition of Soulful Living. It is such an honor for me to show up and to bring you amazing guests. And lucky for me today, I get to have Heather Lee Navarre from Boston Tea Room in studio with me today. And here's what's super cool. She is right in my community, and I get to see her as often as I choose and soak up some of her amazing juju. If you saw this woman today, she is rocking the most gorgeous boots I've ever seen and a beautiful smile on her face. So welcome to Soulful Living, Heather Lee.
Thank you so much, Terry. You know, you can take the girl out of Georgia, but you can't take the boots off of the Georgia girl. So
I hear ya. Well, I don't know if you know, but Georgia is one of my favorite states.
And mine too. It's amazing. I love it there. I just came back from another trip there. I like try to spend as much time as I can there every year.
Yeah, well, my husband's family is all in the Atlanta area. And every few weeks we look at mountain property, and I get my own rocking boots on, and I'm like, honey, can we just move down there? I love Detroit. I can't really imagine being anyplace else long term, but I love Georgia.
Right.
So, well, let's get into the nitty gritty of why we're here today. Heather Lee is founder of the Detroit Area Tarot Guild, and she also is one of the owners in the Boston Tea Room, which again is in my community. I'm very fortunate to have that. And Heather Lee shares her amazing gifts with the world. And when I say amazing, I mean it. She doesn't just do tarot. You do a lot of things.
Well, I do, and I have to give a little shout out to Janice Guerin. She's actually the co-founder with me of the Detroit Area Tarot Guild. And sure, tarot is sort of a fundamental basis of the work that I do. But over the years, coming from a family of people who were in the psychic industry or the metaphysical or new age industry, now I guess they call it the conscious living industry. They're going to keep coming up with names for it. And I'm just going to keep doing what I do, regardless of what they call it. But I've been exposed to so many tools because of that yes, these days I do incorporate a lot of mediumship work in what I do. I love my meditation classes. We have a group now. Our membership is over 600 meditators, and every week, four times a week, we've got a couple of dozen folks in the shop doing some really amazing meditation and just raising that vibrational consciousness. It's profound and great. You know, I am reminded all the time of that quote that if you do what you love, you will never work a day in your life. And I don't know if I'm quite there yet because I still feel like I'm working, but gosh, I really do love it. So it's a blessing. Absolutely.
Well, and it shows up not just in your persona, but it shows up at the Boston Tea Room and the other places that you show up in the community. I've been fortunate enough to attend several of your meditation workshops, and it is a whole new vibration. You can walk in there in a funk, or, you know, in a gloom, in a totally pissed off mood. Okay, let's just say it. You can walk in there in that type of a mood and you leave there feeling anew, you know, feeling refreshed. So thank you for providing that space to our community. And listeners, again, if you need to find anything about the Boston Tea Room and Heather Lee, you can find it on the empowerradio.com website, as well as Heather's website. Everything is on there for you. So let's just talk a little bit. What is tarot? There's so many different versions of the tarot out there, and oracle cards and that kind of thing. So give us a little info on exactly what you do with that.
Okay. Well, sure. I don't want to get too dry, but there's all this esoteric kind of mythology around the tarot. But what we really know after a lot of academic research is the tarot is a deck that originated in Renaissance Italy, and it was originally for playing a game that's very much like bridge, the modern version of bridge. It's still played and called tarocchi in many parts of Europe, and it's now been used for divination, and not just, you know, as a divining oracle and sort of a fortune telling tool. But a lot of people use tarot as a way to sort of get insights into what's going on in their life, life patterns that they have. There's a lot of work that's being done with tarot and Jungian archetypes, Joseph Campbell's mythology theories. So you can get as deep as you want with tarot, or you can just play a game of cards. Either way, it works. But I like to think of it as kind of a language. It seems to be living, breathing, evolving. It changes from generation to generation. The tarot of 100 years ago is very different from the tarot of today. And these days, with modern technology, it seems like everybody who has a creative bent or an artistic idea can come up with their own tarot. So you've got literally thousands of different decks on the market. It's a great way to showcase your art, and it's a wonderful way to investigate your soul.
Well, and again, they show up in the form of oracle cards is what I see out there. And I use them in my own practice, and I use them, I wouldn't say on a daily basis, but when I'm kind of stumped for inspiration or motivation or not necessarily, you know, knowing what direction to take the day, the minute, or lead with a client even, I'll grab a deck, whether it's the tarot deck or one of the soul coaching decks, and look for some type of divine guidance. And I think that when they're used in that manner as a tool for divine guidance, that it can totally shift the outcome of any scenario.
Absolutely. Whenever we get a little bit of external information, it can move our internal thought process in ways that we wouldn't be able to do on our own. So it's a handy, handy tool.
Well, and you do a couple of other things that I find really interesting were the spirit guide drawings.
Oh, yes.
Those are phenomenal.
Thank you.
Look, my hair's standing up. I mean, really, it's amazing. So let's talk about that. What do you do with that?
Well, it first started when, you know, I was doing some mediumship work with clients, and a spirit presence would be in the room with us. And I found myself really struggling to verbally describe who this person was. And I wouldn't be able to get these images out of my head. Now, I am not a great artist, but my father was a very talented artist, and he did teach me some things about portraiture. So after one particular client, I just went home and I couldn't get that image of that spirit out of my head. And so I got up my sketchbook and I did some meditating and I started drawing, and I had to call the client back and say, all right, you've got to come back because I've got something for you.
Can't leave it like that.
And as I was meditating and sketching, the spirit was giving me so much more detail about their life and their message for this person, and really the reasons why they are with them at this particular time in their life. It really expanded my mediumship. Mm. Now, it does take a lot of work, and since I'm not a very good artist, you know, it takes weeks and weeks and weeks, but I think it adds another element to be able to see visually, adds that layer of understanding, I think, and that connection between the client and their guide.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine that, because a lot of times I'll have clients that will ask me, can you describe what they're looking like? And I give them my version. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily guided and on paper, mm-hmm, as to what they're actually seeing. So if a client wanted to have a spirit guide reading from you, mm-hmm, they would need to contact you a few weeks ahead of time, because it probably takes that long,
yeah,
to prepare.
We usually do an initial meeting where I take some notes, and then I go home with what we've gathered in our face-to-face session and I work on it for a few weeks. My favorite story was a mother and daughter had come in and they wanted a spirit guide drawing, and the man who appeared was the late husband and father of these two women, and I kept struggling. When I showed them the drawing at the end, I said, you know, I couldn't decide whether to put a mustache on this man or not. He would show himself to me with a mustache and then without, back and forth. And the mother and daughter said, well, that's because mom loved the mustache on him, and his daughter was always trying to get him to shave it off. So, and I went, well, that explains it.
Oh, so, my, yeah, God, that's hilarious. Well, and you're not the only one that offers readings at Boston Tea Room, right?
Right.
You have on staff,
sure,
several others that show up, mm-hmm, and offer additional services. So what are some of the practices that they use in their own sessions?
Well, we're really unique because for over 30 years we've been doing this, and it was my great aunt Rita who was the first Boston Tea Room reader, and over the years we've had some of the most amazing psychics and mediums and astrologers I've ever met in my entire life. I'm so blown away by the caliber of talent that we've found right here locally. They're just phenomenal folks, and they do it all. You know, what we require when I'm looking for, when we're hiring someone, whether it's my shop here in Ferndale or, you know, on the other side of town, my mom and my sister, we're really picky. We're looking for someone that has a mastery of at least one kind of metaphysical tool, whether that be mediumship or tarot or astrology. We want to know that they don't just have a natural ability, something that they were born with, but they've also really worked to educate themselves and discipline themselves and give themselves an ethical structure in which to do this work, because that that takes it beyond a parlor trick and makes it a really useful service.
Well, something that you said there really connects with me, ethical. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we see in the media are characters that are not necessarily presenting with integrity and a code of ethics. And it's one thing that I really love about Boston Tea Room, as you said, here in Ferndale and down in Wyandotte, is that you can trust that the people that you're bringing in definitely have that code of ethics. It's not just something that's made up, or, you know, 1-800-MY-PSYCHIC,
right?
Which, no offense, really, I'm not saying anything negative about that. It's just that a lot of times people have a false persona, and you guys really work to make sure that it's solid, you know, quality.
Well, you know, it's funny that just recently in New York City, a woman was charged, a con artist psychic was charged, and I think she's been sentenced now to 5 years in prison for defrauding her clientele. And I think that's why it makes it so important that those of us who are working in this field, who are coming from a place of integrity, are public about our work. For a lot of years, many people felt ashamed of doing this work, and they kept it really low key and on the down low. But we have to get really public so that we can show people that, you know, yes, there are people that are going to prey on the vulnerable, and then there are those of us who are coming from a place of light. And, you know, one of the things that my mother wrote years ago was an article on how to avoid psychic fraud. And honestly, all these years later, it's still one of the most clicked on pages on our website, because protecting yourself is really important.
Yeah, it really is. And both as a practitioner and as a client, it's essential to protect yourself. And mm-hmm. I've experienced that myself personally, where I've seen somebody that wasn't not necessarily showing up mm-hmm. from a place of light and love. And it can be very frustrating. I was telling my husband over the weekend that it's kind of like coming out of the closet, right. You know, because when he met me, he was in for a whole new ball game. You know, mm-hmm. he came from a very structured, very religious household that didn't necessarily appreciate the gifts that you and I share with the world. And he sees that it's real now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's evidenced that himself, that it is real. It does happen. And I think that everybody in their own way has intuitive gifts, but that's a whole nother show, right?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, the whole relationship thing is a whole nother show, because my sweetie is an engineer. And when we first met, you know, there's always that moment, whether it's the first date or the fifth date, when they ask you what you do for a living and you have to say, well, I throw tarot cards and talk to dead people.
Right. You
know? Talk about a deal breaker. But he's, you know, this guy has a couple of degrees and he's a brilliant man and he's all about empiric evidence. And a few years into our relationship, now he's one of my strongest salespeople and proponents and loves what I do and will actually ask me to read for him. So, yeah, but I do think relationships and psychic ability and everybody is a whole show. Let's do that one again.
Okay, let's do that. Let's get it out. We're going to do that right around February, listeners, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got some great workshops coming up too at the new place. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of them is one of my absolute favorites, okay? It's sugar in your panties and spice in your
britches.
Britches.
Yes. And I always tell ladies, this is a bring your own panties event. And they look at me a little kooky. This is part of the evolution of my work. For a long time, Terry, I would say, hey, I don't traffic in spells and curses. And then I met some really amazing root workers and conjure folk that are part of the American Folk Magic Conference down in New Orleans. And these people are just phenomenal. I went down there on a lark because, hey, who doesn't want to go on a business trip to New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
And it was really life-changing and work-changing for me. I met a conjure worker named Auntie Cindy Toto, and I've got to give a shout-out to her because she's a blessing in my life. And I took this workshop from her, this sugar in your panties and spice in your britches, and I don't know what I was expecting, but what I got when I got home was a whole lot of romance. And
woo!
So I started doing this work one-on-one for my clients, and they were reporting phenomenal results. And, at first it was really just sort of an experiment, a personal experiment for me. And then, hey, this worked for me. Let's see if it works for you. And then it got to the point where I had to call Auntie Cindy and get her permission and blessing to do this work on a larger scale. So now we do these workshops for women and men if they want, and it's based on old school honey jar love spells that have been around for hundreds of years, and they're part of the folk magic tradition in the United States. And it's just amazing, the stories. We've built this whole community of sugar and spice girls, and they're talking about it on Facebook. You should see them go off, and they're telling stories about their dating life, and it's just wonderful and so much fun. So I'm teaching the history of folk magic in this country, along with practical work that can help you get that romantic energy out there to either bring in new romance or enhance your existing partnership. And it's been awesome.
Well, good, because that was one of my questions. If you're in a relationship already, mm-hmm. is it something that would be an effective tool to help elevate it to the next level?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the beauty of kitchen magic or folk magic, is that he won't even if you're living together, he won't even know what you're doing. So now I will say, most of the work I do is not meant to change anyone's free will. But if you're already coming from a basis of being in a place of loving energy and you just want to enhance that or heighten it or deepen it, it's absolutely phenomenal for that.
Okay, let's rewind a second here. Let's give the listeners your definition of what conjure actually means, because
sure.
I hear that a lot. And, mm-hmm. and although we might be familiar with it, there's a lot of people out there who might be thinking, oh, this is black magic stuff, mm-hmm. and it's not.
No. Conjure, some people call the magic that I do a prayer or a blessing. In conjure work, it might be called a spell. It's really about putting your intention out there into the universe. In modern language, it's the darn law of attraction that everybody's been talking about for the past 10 years. But it goes back so much further than that. America, because we're such a melting pot, we were gifted with not only the magical traditions of the Native Americans, who were the first people here, not only the magical traditions of the African Americans who came over here by force, but also the magical traditions of, Italy and Europe, the Norse people, the Celtic people, and every civilization has their own folk magic traditions. America became this melting pot. And so hoodoo or conjure are words that kind of describe this American folk magic that is very often a blending of all of these things. And contrary to being, black magic, as it's called, and I have issues with that phraseology.
Yeah, me too.
But
another show.
Actually, yeah, exactly. A lot of these practitioners are, in fact, very religious, deeply spiritual people with a long tradition of belief in a higher power and the greater good. So, I do think it's very misunderstood, but people are starting to get more interested.
Well, you said something a minute ago about prayer and intentions, and I really feel like that's the basis of magic and spells and intuitive work, is that It's just another form of prayer. Whatever you want to call it, that's the bottom line. That's sure. what it comes down to. And if you are working in the divine, with the divine, then it can't come from any place but love and right. from the highest good of all.
Absolutely.
So I love that. And I love the name of that class. I think about it quite often, and I'm like, man, that should just be all over the map because we could all use that stuff, right?
Right,
right. Right? Okay, and then you have another class coming up, and it is Gatekeepers, Guides, and
Guardians.
Mediums. Oh, Guardians.
Yeah, it's Gatekeepers, Guides, and Guardians, and it is an introduction to mediumship or spirit communication. And, you know, this also came from... so many people would come into me, these clients, and they would say, you know, I sometimes feel him or her around me, but I can't. When I try to communicate, there's nothing there, but there are just these little blips. And so this class was designed in partnership with one of my colleagues at the Boston Tea Room, Deborah, and she's a very gifted medium as well. And we both wanted to share with folks that this isn't something, it's not like we were tapped on the head with a magic wand. Spirit is all around us. It wants to communicate with us. And you don't have to have some special, you know, ability. You can work with the spirits who are already present in your life. You can learn to communicate with your own gatekeepers and guides and guardians. And that's accessible to us all. I think a lot of people tend to put us on a pedestal for what we do, for the fact that we can communicate with these folks. But I tell them a lot of times it's like in that movie Ghost, where that spirit was just waiting for her to go see someone so that they could break through. You can take me out of the picture and you can communicate directly with your ancestors or your guardians. You know, I would like to make my role as a medium obsolete because I would like to empower everyone around me to connect with spirit in that way.
And I couldn't agree more. I mean, I said earlier in our conversation here that I believe we're all intuitive, and mm-hmm. I believe that we can all communicate with spirits and helping spirits and guides. So I love the name that it was guides and gatekeepers. So your definition of mediumship then would mm-hmm. be communicating with spirit.
Yes, communicating with the spirit world. Now, sometimes that's as mundane as, you know, Aunt Mabel has something she wants to tell you about. You're not making that peach cobbler correctly, you know? And sometimes it goes beyond the mundane. Sometimes these are what I find is that people's past life incarnations, the spirit that they represented in a past life is coming forward into this life to say, hey, you're almost there. You're on the verge of learning this life lesson that you're here for this time around, so please grab on, you know. And there are other times I had one spirit come through, and I was sort of asking him, well, who are you in this person's life? You know, are you, you know, their ancestor or something? And the spirit kind of told me, I have never been in corporeal form. And I thought, oh, well, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. You know, and I think what he was telling me was that he was this divine angelic being. And so I think mediumship is connecting with spirit, whatever that looks like, and being open is crucial to the process.
Well, and one of the things that I would add to that is when you're working with somebody, you don't always get the spirit that you're anticipating. So when I go to somebody and I say, hey, I want to talk to my dad might not be the person that's right there in the forefront.
Right.
It might be somebody else that says, oh, no, 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 dad. Mm-hmm. This is my turn. I got to tell this chick something.
Precisely.
Right?
Right.
It's mm-hmm. not always who you think it's going to be. Okay, listeners, well, we're down to the wire. Heather, we're down to the wire here. You can find all of Heather Lee's information on the Empower Radio website at soulfulliving.com. And Heather Lee, I'm putting you in the hot spot here. I love for my guests to leave the listeners with a thought, something that they can take out into their day to empower themselves or maybe bring them closer to soulful living on their own. What would that be for you?
Oh gosh, if it was just one thing, I would have to say, too many of us forget that we are a divine child of the Creator and that we are worthy of loving and being loved just exactly as we are today in this moment. It's not about reaching your potential. It's about loving who you are right this minute. And what would you do for yourself today if you were really in love with yourself?
Mm, That's awesome. Thank you. Woo, talk about hair standing up again. Well, thank you. A deep bow to you, my friend. I'm so glad you are here.
Thank you, Terry.
Kyla, thanks for showing up as our producer today. We are so blessed to have her in studio with us. Make it a great one, everybody.